Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Save big money when you start your next project today at Menards. Check out our great selection of garage and utility lighting options. In stock, ready to take home today. We carry everything to help you illuminate whatever project you're working on. Shop garage and utility lighting products in store at your nearest Menards. You can also view all of our entire selection of lighting options today on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
All right, welcome to another episode of the Tiger Miley Report Week 4 recap for you on TigersMLReport.com. I am Rogelio Castillo. Alongside me is Chris Brown and Brandon Day. And you can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. And of course, if you are so be so kind, ever so kindly give us donations. You can give us donations on our PayPal link. And that banner will be scrolling here on the bottom for Super Chat for questions. So all the money goes back into the website. Everything, every single dollar, like, for example, the money just currently that we just raised has paid for the site for the year. So, and also you can buy a site t-shirt and, yeah, pretty cool, snazzy stuff. And everything goes into supporting the website. So we appreciate that. Tigers 7-1 victory over the Rays. ERA for the bullpen under 1.69. I think it was something to that effect. Nice.
Shelby Miller scuffling with a 2.5 after that homer.
Yeah. Oh, a mere 2.5. And Joey Wentz, for everybody wanted to know, like, Joey Wentz, the demise of Joey Wentz didn't happen. So for those who talk about how dirty or how bad he was, you know, you could pretty much eat a, you know, anyway.
Let's hold our horses for a while.
I know it's still early, but I mean, I just don't understand when people root for the demise of players. They don't understand that.
Well, yeah.
So Matt and Tyler want to know how bowling went last night. Yes. So I didn't do my normal. So I didn't get done with bowling until almost 9:45. By the time I got home, it was like close to 10. I bowled a one. See, the first game was 198. I got a 189 going into the second frame in the I bowled the strike in the 10th frame. I'm like, all right, 189, sitting 189. Go to bowl the second one, nothing. I just went, so I missed 200. Because then the second one, I got 10, but it was like, or I got 9. It was just 198 or whatever, do the math. I got a strike on the last one. So then the second game was a 178. And the third game, I just ran out of gas. Because you sit in these chairs, and the team we're playing against was smoking, and they were taking way too long. And so you sit on these plastic chairs, and they're uncomfortable. So after a while, my thigh just started killing me. So I started doing, like, stretches. I was doing yoga stretches in the middle of this downriver bowling alley in downriver Michigan, for anybody familiar with that.
Everybody's got a heater out all around you. You're breathing in the smoke.
And, like, well, icy hotting the thing. And anyway, so... But the last game was like a 135. But I mean, I was just excited for the first two games because we really needed it. Our team is Los Tres, Las Tres, and we couldn't Bastores, because we couldn't think of anything else. And so, anyways, just it's a married couple and myself and Carol and Brandon are good people. And so, anyway, we had a person who ditched us after 1 week, and she was too bothered to say anything why. But anyways, whatever. Samuel, thank you for the $5, by the way. We much appreciated.
Apple is gone.
Let's go. The more you fund these guys, the better my coverage is too.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah. Yeah, Greg, by the way, Greg was out in Minnesota this weekend, as he called Friday and Saturday.
Now, let me ask you something real quick. And I need you to look this up real quick while I'm talking. But, okay. You know, Greg had a tweet about how, you know, talk about Minnesota nice. And he got a jersey, a signed jersey from the Minnesota Twins mascot, which I believe is named TC. And if you could find that, it was on Greg's personal account. And if you could post the picture, I want to ask you if you see something in the signature that I see, if maybe I've just got issues or if everybody else sees this too. You know what I'm talking about?
I know what you're talking about. I see it.
Okay.
I'm gonna pull it up right now. I'm pulling up for everybody to see, because this is a,
it's not gonna work for the radio, but
it's not gonna work for the podcast.
Very nice gift indeed. Very cool. I don't know if you can zoom in a little bit. I don't know if it's possible to zoom in.
Yeah. We do a JFK breakdown.
Yeah,
or John Boy breakdown.
Yeah, I don't know.
Are you talking about this particular area right here?
Yeah, the signature right on the upper left sleeve. I don't know if you can quite see what's going on there. I don't know. People, I don't know. I don't know what TC's doing, but
he's wild out up there. Yep, they get crazy in Minnesota. You know, it's cold up there, dark all winter long.
Yeah. Anybody listening, it looks like a very small manhood and twig berries, if you will. So anyway, yeah. That was the one thing, but yes, Greg was calling those games because Benetti was calling the Michigan spring game a week after he called the Ohio State spring game, which is, we joked about, like, you're really going to leave the Tigers for scrimmages, but football is king. So what are you going to do?
Yeah,
Chris, we got some actual audio of the what people thought was on the jersey.
All right.
Ooh. Colonel, you better take a look at this radar. What is it, son? I don't know, sir. But it looks like a giant dick. Take a look out of starboard. Oh, my God. It looks like a huge...
Oh, yeah. Wait.
That's not a
looks like
someone.
All right.
Yes, the great final scene of Austin Powers, the original, right? Yeah.
Oh, man.
I might be more disturbed by the fact that Raj was that prepared with it.
Yeah. Well, because as soon as I saw it, I'm like, all right. Okay, let's talk about Derek Skubal's. Before we get to the minor leagues, let's talk about Derek Skubal, shall we? Because, I mean, he's been subject of many subjects on this podcast, but that changeup tonight was masterclass, just flat out 100% dealing. I wish we could play it, but we could get copyright. Hell, we might have got copyright strike for what we just played on Austin Powers, but it was totally worth it. But Skubal tonight, 13 swings and misses. And he actually finished second to Zach Liddell.
Yeah.
Liddell is a little.
Littell?
Littell?
Yeah, maybe.
But Joey Wentz with 5 swings and misses and 1 inning worth it. That was pretty.
Yeah, Joey looked good.
Yeah, he looked good.
I mean, you know, the Rays kind of knew they were out of it, so it's all right. But we'll take whatever we can get. But yeah, Skubal looked awesome. I mean, you know, he showed him the changeup a lot early, but he was finishing him off with the fastball. And that's what I like to see. Like, you know, as long as he's got that in their head, there's no reason to, you know, make it any easier for him on him. He just came right at him with fastballs and tied everybody up inside. They had all right-handers in that lineup, and nobody did shit. So that was fun. You love to see it. We were kind of owed a game like that. At Bless You Boys, we have a thing called a Malik, based on a former commenter who would always demand 8 runs, and we didn't quite get there, but we were close. So, yeah.
That's a Terrence Malik.
Yeah. And, yeah, somebody just said this. Deadly Ninja Bees. Yeah, a lot of sinkers, too, actually. It wasn't so much the four-seam today. So, yeah, just firing that thing at their hands and then just bending it back in the plate and then expanding up. So, yeah, he's something else right now.
Yeah. it's nice to be able to have all those pitches he can command. And yeah, they're all, you know, I saw a couple just, you know, rear back and let it go fastballs. And yeah, just like, yeah, I mean, he's what we saw last year, what we expected. He's, I think I just checked, he's tied for, it's like a sixth place tie or six person tie for second place in war F4 so far. It doesn't matter. It's five starts, but he's been exactly as dominant as everybody had hoped. And so that's certainly fun to see him turn it into a bona fide ace.
Yeah. Hope you guys all got your Cy Young bets in before the season. I did.
Well, I didn't. Yeah. Although I do, if I do bet, I bet online.
Yeah, it was just
fan.
Yeah,
well, you bet online. You do bet online. And thanks to our friends over at Bet Online, you can bet on all the great playoff action right now. The NBA playoffs are in action. The NHL playoffs are just around, or they've already probably started. Yeah, they're already started. So all the latest stats, news, scores available to you. Follow your favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines, including the great latest team matchups, player props, and I'm totally running this ad on the ground, and odds on just on every sport out there. So head to the website today, Bet Online, or use your mobile device to get on the action. Bet Online, where the game starts. All right.
Well, you took that feed beautifully. I wasn't even trying to set anybody up for that. I have no idea what's going on, folks. I'm just here.
What it was is like, it was John. Chris gave me John Stockton, Karl Malone, but then it took the ball and it just kind of like,
I was over here and I just,
yeah. Byron wrestled it.
Yeah, Byron wrestled it.
No, that's fine. So, he was a quality player too.
I saw Kevin say that earlier somewhere in the chat. And yeah, I mean, Torkelson's just driving me crazy. It's like, first pitch fastball down the middle, take, fastball away, swing, breaking ball down, layoff, fastball down the middle, take. Yeah, he's driving me a little nuts right now too. But yeah, you know, he's been hitting the ball hard again. He seems to be getting his line drive or two per game thing going. So hopefully the loft will kick in there eventually. How many balls has he hit off the left field wall now? It seems like four or five at least. So, you know, he's a bit of a conundrum. We've gone from being like, what is wrong with Javi Baez? Like, he's a head case. What are we going to do? And now everybody's like, what's wrong with Torkelson? Jesus, he's in his own head. Javi Baez is the best shortstop in the American League.
Yeah, I mean, it's nice to see but Baez.
Playing good, yeah.
He's playing well. Jake Rogers had a couple hits, which was, I think, needed for him.
Yeah,
I mean, it's still, you know, Meadows hit that home run, which was nice to see. But then it was three more strikeouts. And then Colt Keith, you know, still no results yet, although he had an awesome jumping catch that I saw. I didn't actually get to see the game, but I was watching highlights when I could. So,
yeah, just looks like he's thinking. Yeah, he just looks like he's thinking way too much out there right now and just needs to kind of chill out. But
yeah,
we've talked about this a couple times. Like, he just, you know, every level he's kind of needed a month and change to kind of settle in and get comfortable. So he doesn't look like he's having much fun. You know, Colt's kind of a serious kid in the first place, and he looks pretty serious right now. He should probably just chill out.
He needs to get that first home run, I think.
Yeah, he does. He just needs to light into one and get it out of there. But yeah, Javi's just playing out of his mind. I mean, when Javi Baez is hitting the ball, it's about as fun as baseball gets. I've always been a big fan of him. You know, I didn't want him here, obviously, but it's just nice to kind of get a reprieve, at least from the, you know, we can't deal with this guy. We can't take anymore. Because when he's hitting and then, you know, you see him on the bases and he's running like a demon all over the place and picking the ball, making great plays at shortstop regularly, it's a lot of fun to watch. You just hope, you know, we can get as much of this as possible. Squeeze as much out.
It just and the fans are, I'm just waiting for that the villain role to turn there. But no, Keith, Jerry and I talked about this today, where he is a guy who, one of the things about him is that you notice that he was doing the toe tap last year, and Chris and I had a chance to talk about this earlier today, whether that's kind of to help him with his timing or not, because he did that last year, and he was doing that in the Rangers series too. It looks like he was trying to go back to the habit of when he bats, does kind of a toe tap versus lifting up his entire foot.
Yeah.
So he's still trying to figure it out. And honestly, it is. Well, yeah. And I think Tyler said it best. If Javi's hitting 250 or the best team in the league when he's below 200, it's like watching dental surgeries, and that's a good way to put it. But meanwhile, I mean, you look at this. I mean, we're not going to go two in the big league team, but a team that was fun to watch in the Toronto series was Cleveland. I watched a little bit of the game. I watched a little bit Friday, and honestly, it's Cleveland's the fact that they lead the league in offense and everything. It's just the numbers on there are phenomenal. So it's, I'm looking forward. you know, see when Detroit takes them on.
Yeah, they just keep, and they just keep doing this with like not, you know, seemingly a lot on paper, you know, piecing together an offense out of contact and speed guys and just not striking out. And, you know, it just doesn't seem to matter. You know, Bieber goes down, they're still pitching great. I really had questions about them this year, mostly because Terry Francona was leaving. You just kind of wondered, you know, is there going to be a whole changing of the guard that goes on here where they need a year to adjust? But no, no, they're a machine. They just keep churning out like 85 win teams every year.
Like clockwork. And it's, yeah. You know, they're now it's the offense is taking a turn. It's taking the stage versus the pitching. And by the way, another thing about tonight's game that was pointed out was the Lakeland Flying Tigers and the FCL Tigers were in the house tonight as they were sitting watching a game from the suites, if you will. And so it was good to see that out there and get a chance for some major league exposure out there. So it was, and then again, also gives Tampa some actually attendance. I mean, it helps their Tropicana field number. So
gives Max Clark a place to wear, you know, different shoes and stuff.
Yeah. Well, they're, as you'll see in our final slide tonight, they are taking on the Tampa Yankees this week. So it makes perfect sense for them to be there. I hadn't considered that, but that's fun.
Oh yeah.
There's
the guys out there, like, you know, hoping to get up there one day.
Yeah.
Maybe not to
Tampa. Yeah, and that means that also means it'll be on back on TV because I don't know what the hell the Cardinals. Well, I mean, Miami makes sense because Miami doesn't spend, you know, crap for that kind of stuff. But it's inexcusable. I'm really surprised because St. Louis Cardinal fans are really, really in the prospects. The fact that they don't have any resources to show their games, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
So,
it was bizarre, and we almost missed Max Clark's first home run because of this. I would have blamed
thanks to David Rosenberg, who stepped up huge and did a really good job. The guy on your site did a fantastic job, and even an Alger only week. It's like, I'm gonna get down there. And David, thank you. You did the Lord's work, or what a mystical you believe in. Yeah. So let's start with Toledo. Toledo split the series against Rochester, and they're playing Worcester at home. And I don't think – how often does Worcester –
They used to be Pawtucket, right? So it was like they just kind of changed it. But, yeah, I don't think they see them all that often. I'm more used to seeing, you know, Louisville, Indianapolis. But maybe once or twice a year. Maybe a home and home series.
Yeah, that'd be nice. That sounds about right.
Yeah, and as far as like, so it was funny. I was pulling up clips for the week, and I was trying to do like a whole weekly thing on Twitter. There was not a lot to work with Toledo, not a lot at all. And Mason Engler continues to be look at the work here. He's striking everybody he's facing. He's just a mad force. But a good start there by Brent Hundler. 5 innings, 2 hits, no walks, most importantly, 9 strikeouts. But it's that veteran, Chris, core right there. You talk about Hira, Mudras, and
Fallade. The prospect side of things didn't really do much at all this week. It was those veterans, like you said. Yeah, we put it there. 22 for 56 with 4 doubles, 5 home runs, and 18 RBIs. Those three were really going to town. And that's how they ended up, you know, eking out a series split. But yeah, I mean, Young had that huge home run yesterday, was it? 444-foot bomb.
I think it was yesterday, yeah.
Then he also had the 2 errors at the end of the game that were kind of a bummer, cost him a run, but they ultimately won. But yeah, Young and Malloy weren't doing much. Big B kind of, you know, didn't do it. He did get his first home run, but other than that, didn't do much. And then Dingler, it's classic Dingler, right? Up and down, 1 week good, 1 week bad.
Yep, did hit a home run. That was good. I think that was just second of the year, I think.
That sounds about right, yeah.
Yeah, the thing that stood out was Herter. You know, the first couple outings didn't go that well there, especially by his standards. You know, usually the control's really good. So that was nice to kind of see him settle in there, get his first really, really strong start with them. Englund is like, I don't know, it's like watching Reese Olson with an even worse fastball. You know, like when he's got the changeup and the slider going, he just carves everybody up. But you really don't want to see him throw too many fastballs in there to big leaguers still, I assume. So it'll be interesting to see if they can solve that problem and turn him into a reliever. That's kind of the thing I'm watching for with him. Cause you know, I came into the season, I think we had him like 30th or something like that. You know, he's a prospect, but I don't know. It was ugly last year. He kind of scared me. So we'll see what happens there.
I think what Englert's problem is too, when we try to get to the top of the zone, he has been getting hammered. I mean, I noticed that during spring training where we try to get the fastball, even on the inner part of the plate, it just doesn't seem like it has a, like his slider. You mentioned his changeup. It has some really good darting action, but for whatever reason, to me, his fastball looks straight and just looks like something just you can hammer pretty easily. And so you're right, Brandon. That is a big work in progress, but I think of him more as a reliever, if anything, with the four pitch mix. But the problem is that I think what's going to happen is the Tigers are going to take his two best pitches and focus on making that better in order to then whatever that, so they can hopefully use the fastball similar to what you see with the likes of, hopefully you see out of Flores. I mean, Flores's numbers are.
Yeah. The transition has not been going that well so far.
Yeah. It's interesting to watch. He's like, just nothing's working right now. It's really weird. You know, for his exciting as he looked in spring training.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, he's not striking anybody out. He's giving up hits. He's walking guys. It's a weird, and the velocity hasn't been quite what it was earlier in spring training. It's he's, you know, 96, 97, touching 96, 97, but it's not, you know, upper 90s. So yeah, I mean, that's a weird one. I don't know.
I mean, I wonder how he feels about relief, you know. I don't know, just how good he looked in the spring and then watching it go like this as they've moved him to relief pretty quickly. I mean, he had one, you know, down year. I just wonder if there isn't some, I don't know, a little bit of contention maybe about how he's being used or something. But, yeah, you know, maybe he just needs to settle in. I don't know.
That was my, kind of sort of suggestion with Lyle Lockhart last week was that, his ERA is like 6 runs higher as a reliever than it is a starter. So maybe if you want to start, go out there and do a terrible job as a reliever and force him to put you back. I don't know. Yeah. But yeah, and with Englert, the thing with Englert, yeah, he's got a big league changeup, like an above average big league changeup, and I don't think many AAA hitters could deal with that. So I don't know if, like you were saying, Brandon, like if there's enough else there to actually be a solid bullpen piece in the big leagues, but I'm sure we'll see him again at some point, probably later this year.
Yeah, I mean, maybe there's like a Fieto type, you know, role where he's sort of like your 2-inning. You know, bridge guy or something like that. But yeah, they've got to figure out some way to keep the fastball in the park. I guess we should probably cut him some slack because he probably didn't learn anything last year, to be honest. He kind of got thrown in the fire and then he was hurt. So this might be the first year he's actually getting the full Federization and Lundization, whatever.
I was going to say some Gabe Rivas.
London
Gabe
calling.
Rivas. Yeah, London calling. Yeah, Gabe, the Rivas effect too. Yeah. You know, it's funny, by the way, a friend of the show, Dan Dickerson, literally just texted me. And I'm not doing it to be a humble brag, but I was talking to him about earlier the Cole Keith, the toe tap. And he said that he told him this spring that he toe tapped some ABs. His legs start kicking others. Sometimes during the same game, he used to drive Gabe Alvarez crazy.
That's funny. So
it makes a lot of sense too.
I guess we should just take a moment since Dan has weighed in with us here and we appreciate it to mention that he and Benetti are going to do a podcast together and the first episode is out and man, that's going to be fun. We're so spoiled. They were so fun tonight on the air, not to linger on the Tigers too much, but especially in a game like that, you really appreciate, the camaraderie those guys have and just how good they are on the mic, how quick with the wit Benetti is. Seems like Craig's starting to, catch up.
Yeah. You know what?
flying at him.
Somebody was trying to tell me that Craig Monroe's not terrible in the booth. I disagree. I think he's I don't know what Jason Benet has done to him, but he is a lot better in the booth than he was with Matt Shepard. Nothing against Matt Shepard or anything but just the amount of just back and forth they've had in there has been fantastic. And here's this is during the broadcast earlier tonight where there's a ball that's within like 5 feet of the broadcast booth and Jason and Craig are trying to trying to get the ball. And they sent Bobby Scales out there to get it. And Bobby Scales makes it look easy. Almost made a Spider-Man joke with it, but
I think Dan still has it by the belt. Oh, I thought Craig might just lower Benetti out there by his ankles. You know, Craig could probably pick Vinetti up and just twirl him if you wanted to. So
you gotta love that the nice clean wiring up there.
Yeah.
Looks like somebody's gonna get electrocuted immediately.
Yeah, Colin did mention a good point there. Like the Vinetti story about John Cena at the restaurant, but it was when because he said that a regular at this restaurant couldn't sit at his favorite spot because John Cena was there, and then it was Johnny Kane who chimed in something about, oh, I saw him at a airport in Milwaukee or something. And it was the coolest guy. So I mean, but then again, everybody could see him? You know, oh god, that was a bad.
I mean, I think the problem for Craig with Shep was just that he had to talk too much. You know, Shep had a way of, like, he would just say what he was supposed to say, and then there'd be this dead air, and Craig would constantly have to feel like he had to fill it. Yeah. And I just think Vinetti, you know, he makes everyone around him better, and Craig doesn't have to do as much. You know, he can actually just sit there and think about the game and chime in. And so there we go. And yeah, Jason Vinetti probably is worth more than a third baseman.
Yes. You know, and Tyler, well, here's the thing about Badu. I started doing an article about Badu, and then I haven't had a chance to finish it, but he chimes in with, I know it was discussed a little bit last night, but what does the future look like Badu? I think he is, to me, a bench player, a good role player, but not a full-time player. I say that in the nicest way possible, and I think he could have potentially have a full-time role. He's good in left. Center field, you can trust him for a couple innings here and there. And I think there's a bat there. He can walk, but I need to see more on a consistent basis. But I think if like gun in my head, a guy who can contribute on a team. He's a contributor. Is it me copping out? No, I think he's just sometimes the bat swing is a little too long.
Yeah, I just wish he would lead with the handle. Like he just casts the bat pretty badly and spins out too often, and just can't handle major league pitching that way. I don't know. I mean, I think Badu probably gets a long look somewhere else. Like, Badu's the type of dude you could probably trade for a little something, because he's still only 24, I think, still. And, you know, I mean, at very least, you've got a pretty great base dealer who can play center field, left field for you and be just fine out there. He was better in center field last year than the first two. But yeah, you just, you know, he's streaky against the right type of pitcher. You know, he can do some damage, but because, man, when he lights into one, you know, he's got huge power for a guy with that speed. You just love it to come together, but it kind of feels like an IFA who's, you know, like coming up to his sell by date faster than he should because of, you know, the rule system, and like needs to be traded to someplace he can really get a chance. Cause unless Parker really falls apart or something like that, I just don't see any way Badu really cracks this lineup again. Maybe briefly this year for an injury or something, but it's tough. Yeah, I love Akil. It's too bad, but
I would say there's an outside shot. Like, say they don't bring back Hanna. I wonder if they might want to, though. But say they don't bring back Hanna next year, there's an outside shot. Maybe Badu makes the opening day roster. But I think we talked about it yesterday. His salary is going to go up again. He's going to be making probably north of $2 million. And I think you're right. I think that, you know, for the amount of playing time, I don't think they want to pay that. So he strikes me as a guy who will make another team out of spring training at some point. I don't know which team, somewhere else. And then, you know, he'll have his moments and then probably be back in the minors, up and down like that for a couple more years.
Yeah. Yeah. Just kind of a bit of a part-time weapon.
And speaking of weapons, by the way, the Seawolves 4-2 against Akron, and they had a weapon in their pitching staff. The pitching staff did pretty good all week as they continue to weaponize. This is a team that, in terms of hitting prospects, was going to be light. And this was an opportunity against Akron, who Akron's a pretty much a veteran team too, as well, in terms of minor league teams. They have a lot of the same personnel from last year. And so there's going to be a lot of games where they're just kind of really ugly, and there's a tornado warning earlier in the week too, and it was a really weird week in Akron in general. But Troy Melton had two game.
Tuesday Sunday usually.
Yeah, Tuesday Sunday. No, but I was like, in college baseball, isn't there?
In college baseball, they just pitch once a week, and they have the Friday night starter as like the top guy in the rotation.
Yeah,
I don't know if that's what you're going for.
Yeah, pretty much what I was going with the angle there. And Lockhart, as Chris has proved to Chris once and for all, that he's better off as a starter.
You know, I just think, yeah, some people just, you know, whatever process it is to come in and start, you know, they get comfortable and they get out there and they figure it out. And when they're coming out and out of the bullpen, I don't know. It's obviously we're dealing with people here and they have different feelings about stuff. But it is kind of odd, the disparity in his performance. Yeah, it's kind of I was kind of shocked that they went 4-2 this week. The offense was really, you know, scratching out runs at best for the most part. And they even got walked off, I think, on Sunday. It was they scored a run in the eighth inning to tie it at one, and they got walked off on like a fielder's choice. But yeah, I mean, it's we kind of saw this coming, though, right? It's not a ton of exciting prospects, but a good pitching staff and a bunch of veterans who can, you know, get the job done. And like Carlos Mendoza, we've talked about him in the past as you know, not doesn't fit the mold as a traditional prospect, but he's just a huge pain in the ass as a hitter. He doesn't give away at bats. He works the count. He takes walks. He slaps the ball on. He hit a home run, which is highly unusual for him. He steals bases. He's a really good guy to have in the organization, and I'm kind of glad he's getting some run in Double A now with Luis Santana down, because it's I don't know, he deserves to move up a little bit just because of the way he is.
Yeah, especially what I like about Mendoza, he goes all out. There's so many times where you see him do a catch, literally just comes like sprinting 50 yards across the field or something. Like he's always just giving himself up, and I love watching him play. Last year was a great picture of him and his father that I think Jay Markle might have gotten. I'm not sure who, one of our guys got it. Can't remember who, but there's a great picture of him and his father's. And he was just watching the game. I think he was on the injured list. Was in the IL. And yeah, I'm a big fan of him. And I'm also a big fan of Brady Allen turning around a little bit too. Like he off to a struggle. 14, I know it's not the greatest thing, but it's baby steps.
He's hitting for extra base power when he hits. That's for sure.
Yep. I'm not getting cheated.
Yeah, I do want to talk a little bit about the Job start. I don't know. Yeah. We clipped it up. It's on our YouTube page if people want to watch it. But it's slightly misleading because the game started, he gave up hits on each of the first two pitches. The first one was like a soft liner to center. The second one was actually hard hit. And then he balked in a run. And then his third hit was a sky-high pop-up that landed in fair territory, like an inch away from the foul line that a big league left fielder or a big league shortstop or third base would have caught. And then he walked a guy in the first inning too, but then he retired the last 11 batters he faced, I think. And there was zero hard contact. He was using all his pitches. It was really good.
We had one of my commenters who's a regular.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional grade supplies backed by product experts, so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It's kind of like, I told you guys we're going to have to wait a little bit longer for Job, and I was sort of like, huh? Because I've just been watching him, and I mean, he looks fucking awesome.
Yeah.
But then I went back and thought about it, and I was like, oh, right, those four walks against Binghamton where – like, you know, it was just absolute squeezitude, you know, like you can go and look at those pitch plots. There was like four balls called in the strike zone on the first one. A couple of the others, like all of his breaking balls were like right at the bottom line, but none of them got called a strike. So yeah, those kind of things are misleading. And yeah, you put Jake Rogers back there, a major league umpire, and the Tigers defense around him, and Job could pitch right now.
Yeah. No, and no here's problem. The thing too, the AA umpires have been terrible. There's some calls it's this year bad. Just like when I'm clipping back or I'm watching Chris clip something, I'm like, how the hell is that not a strike? Especially it's the bottom of the zone where we see that abused the most. It's not necessarily the top, but it's right there where it's a little like just usually, I don't want to say like, I know the square is imaginary and what have you, but even, I mean, right there. And you tell me it's not a strike. Come on.
Yeah, you understand if it's like a top, you know, a top shelf breaking ball or something. Like a lot of guys miss those, but yeah, at the bottom of the zone, like that's what everybody's aiming for, homeboy. What are you looking at? Yeah. So yeah, I don't know. It's been a little fugly on the umpiring side, but yeah, Job looking monstrous. I would highly recommend if people haven't to go watch that Pitching Ninja interview with him. You know, he breaks down all of his pitch grips and the way he talked about the subtleties in his grip. The kid knows what he's doing. I'm calling everyone kid now because I'm going to be 50 in 6 months. Sorry about that. But, you know, just about where his middle finger position is on the fastball, like cutting it directly down the middle because, you know, like, I think he actually said it. Like, that's my longest finger. That's where the ball's coming off. You know, you can tell he's looked at the edge of Tronic. He understands. And he kind of talks about some of those things that if you talk to pitchers, they often don't mention because they figure people know what they know. And Job's kind of trying to explain this to Pitching Ninja. And so he actually gets into it, like how he uses his thumb on his changeup to keep his wrist locked so that there's no wiggle in it. Also talked a little bit about the Rays, you know, philosophy of just like aim down the middle, like just let your stuff play, you know, just fire everything down the middle. And he was kind of like, you know, Rob was kind of asking him like, are the Tigers telling you the same thing? And he's kind of like, they are, but I don't believe in that. You know, he's like, it's some, you know, I believe I can command my fastball at least, you know, to quadrants and stuff like that. And was kind of talking about it, which hopefully is the case. And so, yeah, overall, you know, a pretty good interview, but you know, you just come away from him, you know, from listening to him, he, you know, he knows what he's doing out there. He's got it pretty well dialed. He was talking about his slider and how he learned to throw it just like, you know, when he was a quarterback in high school, his dad just told him to just throw it like football. And it's just, he's just a natural freak at throwing objects. You know, you could probably put a spear in his hand and he'd pipe somebody from 100 yards away, you know? So, yeah, that's really, really a good interview and well worth checking out. Not very long, maybe 8 minutes or something.
And not to backtrack, sidetrack here, but that all that discussion reminded me of, there was, I think Bless You Boys had reposted it, the article from MLB.com about Scooble using the
changeup. I was going to mention that. Yeah.
Yeah. The seam shifted wake. And it was very satisfying to read that because Brandon, I know you and I both wrote articles about seam shifted wake 3 years ago saying like, hey, this is the sort of thing the Tigers can do one day.
Yeah. And everybody was kind of like, what are you talking about?
Yeah. And so, sure enough. It's nice. Yeah, that was when Dr. Smith, Dr. Bart even found us and we did a show with him because he's like, hey,
yeah, he's a Michigan. He was also a Michigan. Yeah, I mean, he's a Michigan native. He's still front of the show too.
We're chatting him up. Eno wanted to talk all of a sudden a bunch again.
Yeah,
I'm always happy when Eno Saris gets in touch with him. I'm like, all right, I'm onto something.
This is nice. So it was cool to see and we mentioned. You talk about Job seeming to know what was going on. I think Roger's talking about, and we talked about Melton seeming to know what's going on right now. He's you know, like a feeling out process at Double A right now. He doesn't have, I think in all these starts, he still doesn't quite have the fastball command that he wants, but I think he'll take off pretty well once the weather gets a little bit warmer.
Do we all think Melton will be top 100 by the end of the year?
You know, I hadn't considered that.
I'm going to say yes. So, yeah.
I could see that. You know, I consider him probably a better starting pitching prospect than Madden. And I know Madden had gotten some consideration at places for being a top 100 type. So, I mean, I could definitely see that based on the stuff and what I think he'll do this year.
Yeah. Shout out to Montero, who I still think is better than Madden too. And kind of is proving it so far. So, yeah.
Yeah. We got deprived of Montero's outing last year or last week because he pitched one inning and then the game got canceled.
Yeah.
And so,
yeah, it got rained out. Yeah. And then I think Manning took over and it looked like Manning pitched pretty great. I didn't watch it, but he struck out 7 in 5 innings or something. So no problem for the Matster down there. Easy pickings, really.
There's even, you know, the one thing before we move to West Michigan, too, is that there's been also good, like, unheralded guys in the bullpen for Erie, too. I mean, this is again, there's not a lot of, in terms of prospect. I mean, RJ Pettit has gotten some hype. I mean, you saw him pitch for Detroit in spring training, but he's been pitching it. That bullpen is not like it was last year. I mean, you have Madsen out for the year. You have now Holub now in the Nashville now playing for Milwaukee. So
yeah,
this is a bullpen that I don't say it has a lot of household names per se, but they've done a really good job of keeping in areas in first place. They got Harrisburg this week at home. So for those who are big fans of Wood, well, there you go. You got some Jake Wood.
Yep. Yeah, Andrew Magno's had some pretty good outings. Trevin Michael is at least interesting. I don't know what I think of. I just don't even know what I think about RJ Pettit. He's huge. It's a weird angle. I just don't know. I don't know. I don't know if he can organize all that. I'm not sure.
I don't really remember what his pitch mix was coming out of college. I remember, you know, people talking about he was, you know, pushing upper 90s, but he's got a pretty good changeup. That's the pitch that's surprised me when watching him. I thought he was more like a fastball slider guy, but the changeup Maybe that was always his second best pitch, or maybe he's developed it, but it's a pretty damn good pitch for him.
Yeah.
So let's move on to the Whitecaps, who had a good week against Great Lakes, and Great Lakes has got some pretty good it always will have guys. And speaking of Great Lakes prospects, congratulations to Andy Pejas, who had his first major league home run yesterday. And that was a guy who I felt like we just watched him yesterday at Great Lakes just smashing the crap out of the ball. And so it was a good week for him, but it was a good week for Luke Gold. Luke Gold, 13 for 22, three doubles, three home runs, eight RBIs. Defensively, we'll get to him in a second because there's some people are like, oh, well, yo, he's going to be a double A. Yeah, let's pump the brakes here on that a little bit. Nothing against him either on that. Cole Turney, 9 for 14, although I did not know he hit the IL. Was that? Oh, man, that sucks.
That was he and Stevenson went on the IL today, so they called up Dom Johnson from Lakeland.
Oh, man.
I didn't see what happened, though. Was it an oblique or something?
I didn't see it either, like, honestly.
Like a swing or something. I don't know.
You know, it's been a long career filled with injuries for Turney, so I hopefully it's nothing too serious.
Yeah. Yeah, Lynn wrote that piece the other day, and I'd kind of forgotten about them even signing him. But, yeah, it's been a lot of shoulder injuries, right? Does have a ton of power. Seems like an interesting find, and went to the same college as Mark Connor, Tigers amateur scouting director. So, yeah, kind of an interesting find, but, yeah, just not someone who's been staying on the field. But, man, he was he just fucking wrecked shop last week, that's for sure. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, and I thought for sure that Luke Gold would win Midwest League Player of the Week, but he did not, despite having a 1761 OPS, because
tough crowd.
Gregory Berrios of Wisconsin had an 1818 OPS. He went 13 for 18 with six doubles and two walks. No home runs, but when you go 13 for 18, I guess that gets you the award.
Yeah, the batting average award.
Yeah, exactly. But, yeah, a hell of a week for Gold. He had four straight games with at least three hits, and one of those was a four-hit game. Hit homers in three of those four games. Just really taken off of the bat. He still seems susceptible to breaking balls low and away to me. And at higher levels, I think that's going to be an issue. But right now, enough of those are getting hung that he's really doing a bunch of damage. So it's been kind of fun to watch, and they need that. They need some offense there.
Yeah. And what, playing first base and third base now because Anderson's at second?
Yeah, he's played first. He's played third. I think he's played a little second. Maybe not this year. I know he did last year. The hands aren't great.
Yeah.
The defense down there as a whole is pretty rough. Peyton Graham had a couple. I think he's got six errors already. He had a two-error game. A lot of his issues seem to be arm angle when he throws. A lot of his throws tail down the first baseline toward home plate, which is not ideal.
And he's often just off balance. Like he's just, you know, the fundamentals are still pretty weak there. He's still just playing out of his shoes a lot of the time. And not hitting, which is more important, but
yeah.
I'm sad.
Good week. You know, had a good
Gage Workman's hitting a little bit.
He is good. But you know who's also hitting or walking and hitting or playing some defense? Roberto Campos. What a great catch here. Yeah, fantastic catch. Day. I mean, even with that mask on his face, like just I think I would find that distracting, but just this is literally Rob's extra bases here. Go ahead, Chris.
Well, and that was two outs, the bases loaded, and I think the score was 6-4 or something like that. That basically saved the game right there. And you know, he's had an interesting season because he's not hitting for power and not really hitting much, but suddenly he's walking a little bit more and he's got seven steals already. I don't know. Maybe he's remaking his game, although this was kind of the path that Bryant Packard went on, remember? I don't know. You know, he's a guy, another guy you kind of hope will the battle heat up a little bit when the weather does, but he's finding ways to make himself valuable still, so that's nice to see.
Yeah, and after some pretty ugly defense late last year where we were all kind of like, what's going on with him? Nice to see him turn in a really great play like that, especially in that spot.
Yeah.
I just don't know what to think about him. He's an interesting player. He's got the physicality to be good. Seems like he almost has enough eye to be good, but obviously he's got to hit the ball in the air and do a lot more damage to the pull field, but I don't know. Still worth watching.
Yeah, and still relatively young, still younger than like a college junior, so hold out hope there.
You got to be somewhat patient. Him and Kristen Santana.
The infinite patience for that. Well, I don't know. I think some people would say the patience is running thin on that.
Yeah.
But Jaden Hamm, another start, no walks, four innings, three hits, six strikeouts. Mercado, again, not going to be a guy who's going to get a lot of strikeouts right now, but eight innings of work, five innings, one run, three walks, eight strikeouts. I got to watch him pitch extensively. And it's so funny. When you see Zach Hess, you're like, oh, yeah, it's a 2019 Zach Hess, because it feels like he's been around the system for that long. No.
Yeah, it's I highlighted Zach Hess there just because it's, you know, I always feel for guys who have missed so much time with injury and still, you know, stuck down here in high A, but he's been performing pretty well, so that's good to see.
Yeah, all jokes aside, it was good to see when I got down to Lakeland this year, so they have the workout facility, and in the gym, you can see his name on the pack, or like, wow, Zach Hess is still in camp, so that's good to see, because a lot of the other pitcher, like relief pitchers, like Zach Houston, yeah, guys that I started recovering are long gone now. So, and we get to see another one in Tyler Alexander coming up on Wednesday, starting for Tampa. So he's off to a good start for the Rays.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Tanner Kohlhepp still struggling, unfortunately. Although it still looks pretty nasty, but he does not know where it's going. So
That's the main issue. He's definitely a guy that you want to say just throw it right down the middle. I don't even know if it matters because it moves so much.
Yeah.
So the offense this week in Lakeland, except for Max Clark, who had awesome week, tore it up. As Chris pointed out here, the team hit 194 as a whole, just brutal, brutal, brutal. So, I mean, maybe we lucked out not getting, you know, highlights. Yeah. And here we are thinking about Jose De La Cruz, like, oh, yeah, he's going to turn the corner.
And that's considering the fact they drew, like, what? Probably drew 20 walks in that series, it seemed like. Yeah. Palm Beach was throwing it all over the place most games, but.
Yeah, they had one. I think they only had one good pitcher. I think it was like Friday starter. Right? I forgot they had one guy who's got a legitimate prospect arm, and I can't remember his name right now. But I know it was either Friday or Saturday. They had a kid that was throwing 96, 90, like in the high 90s.
Yeah.
It's just for life, I can't remember it. But the offense, this is where it's just like Max Clark. Let's get to the home run. I'm going to find a home run real quick. And that's something to highlight because this is where, like, all the last couple weeks, the attention has been so he's been finding his groove. He's been finding groove, and it looks like he's finally getting comfortable out there behind the plate and with all the haters and all that jazz. And, you know, it was a good week for Max Clark, as even defensively too, doing his thing. And now I'm trying to figure out how to do two things at once, apparently.
Yeah. I think what you're seeing is him, relaxing and getting more comfortable and kind of letting his tools play that there's still the swing is always, you know, going to be a little bit of a work in progress for him to find the right, you know, loft to it, if you will, but certainly didn't miss it on this home run. I think it was 400 plus feet.
Yeah. 104 off the bat.
Yeah. So, you know, it's nice to see that that's in there and he's just, you know, fast and dynamic enough to get hits in a bunch of different ways. It's just, that's always been the big question is how much power is going to be there. So it's nice to see him get that first one off the board or on the board. And I don't know if that's Lakeland's celebration, the Indiana Jones hat.
Or is that Andrew Graham's hat outside of the ballpark? I mean, he's Australian, so maybe that's
it. Yeah, it could be. The Dundee.
Yeah, the Dundee.
Yeah, it's somewhere between, like, Parker Meadows and, like, okay, well, this guy has a lot more upside in the hit tool. And so, yeah, but not as much power, obviously, but yeah, he's walking a lot. You know, he should be a problem down there, even if he's not hitting a ton, because he's going to be on base a lot. He's going to be running all over the place and really good defensive center fielder already.
And one of the things, and maybe I should do this and actually put it out, you know, people were upset, but like I was looking at his raw numbers compared to a bunch of the other high-ranked players from the draft, including Arjun Nimala and, I'm forgetting the name of the outfielder, the Tigers outfielder, bench coach. What's his name? Not the Tiger. Tigers bench coach right now.
Lombard Jr. Sorry.
Lombard Jr. Yeah.
Are you with the guy with the toothpick?
No, I was talking about Lombard. Lombard Jr. is in the same league, and so is Aiden Miller. All these guys, and Clark has hit.
Yeah, the prep guys. Yeah. Okay, yeah.
All the first round prep guys from last year, and Clark is hitting ball harder than them, and with generally with a better launch angle. So, you know, it's, they're all off to relatively slow starts is what I'm trying to say. So I don't think anybody should be worried. I, you know, that first week was rough. Ever since then, he's been absolutely fine.
Yep. Yep. Looks pretty darn good. If we can, we can get a little more loft in that swing, shorten it up a little bit, get a little more strength in the upper half, we should be in pretty good shape. I mean, he's, you know, he doesn't look like he's going to fill out too much further. He's in pretty good shape, yeah, as it is. And he's going to let you know in those pants. But
yes, he is. It's Quadzilla over there.
Yeah, yeah. I know. I was like, what does he have in his back pocket? It's like a yardage book, but apparently it's a sliding mitt for the outfield now too.
Oh, for the outfield. Interesting.
I don't know. That's what David Rosenberg was saying, that he keeps it out there for that too. But I was like, I don't know what you're talking about.
He's just an accessory that and you know, with no video footage other than this, you know, Briseño had a pretty quiet week by his standards. We did have StatCast or whatever, so you can see that there's still, you know, a fair amount of hard contact, but didn't get much in the way to land, and actually struck out more than, you know, we're used to. And then I think it was the Sunday game, the Lakeland had five base runners and three of them were Briseño. He had two hits and a walk, and then that was it. So that, yeah, the offense kind of hit the skids there. I think the Clark home run was Saturday night, right? That was the only run they had. And then the next day it was two hits.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, and it was one of those series where there's not that much to swing at too, because they were all over the place in a couple of those games. So I don't know. According to David, like Briseño was, you know, just not seeing very much for the most part, and just started chasing a little bit, trying to do something. So
makes sense.
You know, no biggie. Yeah. But not a lot to write home about this week from Lakeland.
No, it was funny. I like Jay Markle's comment. How on earth does Campos have seven steals? That is a very good question. Honestly, it's a solid comment there. But yeah, overall, in terms of this week, the Flying Tigers have a good chance to see. We'll get some, as Chris mentioned, we'll get Lombard Jr. And we'll also get a really high quality product. And the way the television production over at the Tampa Yankees, too, they really do a good job with that. But in terms of pitching wise, too, let me ask you guys this. In terms of the Flying Tigers, and then we'll move on and then we'll wrap it up here. Is there anybody, are you guys surprised by the good starts outside of one, Pedro, is it Garcia, Chris? You guys are surprised by the Millers at all, or is this what you saw, what you guys expected?
I don't know. Those guys are a little bit older, so I just don't know how much to make of Miller and Adamitz there, but I don't know. I'm still, you know, I'm kind of not honestly paying that much attention to those guys either, so I didn't watch any of that because it was Palm Beach, so hard to really say, but neither one of them has really caught my eye a whole lot in the past. I'm pretty much just sitting here waiting for Wilson and Dickerson and those guys to get up.
Yeah, the fun group is down there in the complex league. But I don't know, for forever and ever. And one of the first things I learned when I started getting into minor league baseball is that college left-handers with changeups just will always dominate low A. And the Tigers have had their share of those guys. And I was trying to think of like John Kibler back in the day, and there was another one.
What about White? Was Weiner righty or is he lefty?
Who's that?
Robbie Weinhart
was a right-handed reliever, a sinker baller.
Because I just remember him dominating really quickly, and I didn't think he had too much to him, but I don't know why I thought he was lefty for some strange reason.
But I'm trying to think. So that's just the way it goes with those guys. Jerry and I were looking into Adamitz a little bit last year because there's some funny stuff with his data, like his sinker and his changeup are almost identical except for the velocity. Like the spin and the movement is almost identical, but they're like 6 miles an hour apart. You're like, what? How do you do this? But other than that, yeah, I mean, none of those guys really jump out. Yeah, we looked at Menton's start, that first start. He showed some promising stuff. I still, obviously, this one did not go great. But again, without being able to see it, hard to know what happened there. But I don't know. I think there might be a potential reliever there down the line, just based on his mechanics. And he had some, you know, hit touch of 96 with a sinker. It's pretty impressive.
Yeah,
did we touch on Duque Hibbert?
Duque Hibbert.
Oh yeah,
I didn't mention that.
Yeah, he made his debut this week.
Yeah, was that Wednesday maybe or Tuesday? Yeah, but that was cool because I'd kind of forgotten about him. You know, it was a cool story when he got signed and then he kind of disappeared into the maw of the complex. And I wasn't paying attention, but
it remains a cool story. And unfortunately, I think that's all it's going to be because his fastball is like 86 to 88.
Yeah.
And the right-handers who can survive like that don't exist.
Yeah.
It's Kyle Hendricks, and he's not doing great this year. Yeah.
Maybe Maeda.
Yeah, you can hope so. Now, you know, Hebert has the awesome changeup and the interesting breaking ball and stuff like that, but I don't know. It's fun, but I don't know how much higher he's going to get the system.
It's just really hard to know too, like what kind of coaching and training he's had to date. You know, 1 year is probably not enough if he hasn't really had much of anything. So, you know, whatever, we'll give him a year and see if they can build him up and maybe get that thing to 91, 92. He has the size at least where you'd think maybe he could throw that hard, but yeah, probably not a lot there. Garrett Hill kind of on his way, out of the system. It feels like too, just has not been able to get it together the last year and a half. Battling injury rehab down there and just throwing it all over the place.
Just a really interesting career arc for Garrett Hill, because he started as kind of a touch and feel righty, and then he started throwing really hard and then couldn't throw strikes anymore.
Yep.
I was like, well, that's a shame, but you do have to throw harder to succeed. So
yeah, still got so much further than most pick that far down will ever do. But yeah, it didn't quite work out like Bo Brisky, who still hasn't fully worked out, but you know, at least has a better chance. I'm sure we'd all agree. Yeah. So, I don't know. Like Mitten sounds like kind of interesting. Donye Evans, like, you know, we'll pay attention to those guys. And then you got Wheezy.
Yeah. And, he had a rough outing.
He did. But, you know, but there are some guys with stuff. I mean, I think we've all kind of seen the Tigers just getting better and better at this, where there aren't so many guys that there's like nothing you'd be interested in. Like they had me curious about Colin Fields, and Colin Fields, you know, throws like 91 right now, but has some funky stuff. So yeah, at least there's something you can almost see with almost every pitcher, like what they were thinking now, which is kind of a nice change of pace. Whereas before there were just so many, you know, 90, 92 sinker guys with a mediocre slider changeup combination, just all over the system 5 or 6 years ago. So yeah, it looks better overall.
And, you know, Andrew Sears is kind of mildly intriguing to me as he's like a low slot sidearm lefty who can touch 95 with a sinker.
Yeah.
But he's not throwing strikes at all right now. And I, with his delivery and his mechanics, I'm not sure if he will, but it's an interesting arm. It's you hope they can get him ironed out, because he could, it looks like he could be at least a solid bullpen piece down the road, but yeah, gotta throw more strikes.
Yeah, but at least, pretty funky. And yeah, with enough velo from that low arm angle, pretty good. So, yeah, you know, there's some guys worth paying attention to. But yeah, it's still kind of the regular, the guys we expected to be paying a lot of attention to, we are. So hopefully Mr. McGonigal will get back on the field in a few weeks here.
So one of the questions that came up here was, if Max Scott keeps hitting, what's his timetable? Are you talking about the timetable of the major leagues or timetable to West Michigan?
West Michigan, yeah.
I think probably both, yeah. I think we touched on this before. Like, traditionally speaking, if your top draft pick goes out and performs, then probably coming up around the All-Star break, moving up, maybe a little bit later under Scott Harris. I don't know. We haven't seen a ton of super aggressive promotion. We've seen them move guys, you know, multiple levels, but those are generally more, you know, older guys, Big B and Montero.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, you know, maybe June. I mean, if he's going really good, fine. You know, you probably should challenge him. But yeah, I mean, they're going to wait till it's at least warm out. So I would assume, mid-June and probably, like you say, the All-Star break. And then what day does he make his major league debut, Chris?
What year is it? 2024.
I'm going to say September 10th, 2026. There's some optimism. Let's go.
Yeah. So that would put him
down.
You know, yeah. If he gets to West Michigan this year, probably starts back there next year, gets to Erie, then gets to Toledo up in 2026. And yeah, I could see that. I don't know. You know, it's always tough to sell. What we see right now looks good. We're trying to, you know, project what he might struggle with later on, and it's hard to know right now. So
yeah,
I don't know. And you got to stay healthy. You never know with that. But yeah, I think 2026 is optimistic. I would say probably 2027, but we'll see.
Yeah, honestly, I probably would too, but I'll stick with it. I'm going with 26. Like it just he feels like a momentum kid too. Like, you know, where when it starts to snowball and go well for him, he might just go on a tear and move right up and then struggle for a long time again. He kind of seems like he might be that way, where he's a little bit, you know, kind of streaky and you know, a bit emotional, like riding momentum or struggling with it. Mm-hmm. Like our friend Javier at the major league level somewhat.
Yeah.
Once he starts feeling it, all of a sudden there's all, you know, it's all smiles, it's all high fives everywhere. He's stealing every time he's on base, running wild, feeling good. And then we'll see if, like, 2 weeks from now, he's not just sitting in the dugout with his head in his hands again. Yeah. It's like a very bipolar type player, you know?
Yeah. You like the idea. I think there is that small chance where, yeah, he catches fire, right? And he hits, and they boom up to West Michigan, and he keeps hitting, and maybe he gets that, like, late season cup of coffee and Erie even. And then you're going, oh, boy, yeah. maybe 2026 is conservative. But we've seen, you know, Jackson Holliday is about the most advanced hitter you can find, and yeah. Oh boy, is he struggling in the big leagues. It is ugly for him.
Yeah.
But
Colt Keith, you know, more experience and looked 100% ready, and, you know, it's going to take him a little bit of time. And that's just the way it goes. But yeah, like we keep saying this, I think every week, but the jump to the major leagues just seems so difficult right now. You know, like they went to, you know, the Rays went to, I forget his first name, but Kelly reliever. And I never freaking heard of this dude. And, you know, it's like the nastiest sweeper you've ever seen with like 2 feet of movement. You know, it's like they're just pulling dudes out of their ass and just, you know, just teaching them at least one pitch that will just blow your mind, you know, that Greg Maddux would look at like, hey, that's filthy. So,
yeah,
these are weird, wild times to be facing major league pitching because it's nasty. And if it's not, they got somebody else who is and you're gone. So, yeah.
Yeah. And that was one prospect we haven't touched on. He's technically still a prospect. It was Witzel Perez, who Mike was mentioning last night on the show that it's nice to have somebody come up and actually like perform right away. Now, he's striking out a fair amount, but it is he's still Witzel. He's like, you know, put together a good at bat and then lace an extra base hit and sprint like crazy. And that's the benefit of the depth we've been talking about. Like, you don't know if Witzel Perez is going to be an everyday regular, if he's going to keep hitting or what, but you have enough guys with ability now that you could bring them up. And if one of them performs, you're not struggling too much.
Yeah. I mean, if Malloy is hot or Bigby is hot, you could see him coming up and doing well until there's an adjustment against him. So yeah, you know, having that replacement depth, I mean, they called Buddy Kennedy up out of nowhere yesterday and he had a dong. So yeah, you know, it's just a little bit more consistent, you know, like they know what this guy can do exactly. They know exactly where they're going to use him against what pitchers and, you know, in what scenario. And yeah, you know, that it's just such a huge improvement. But it's also, and I'm sure this is even more this way for you guys, but like following Witzel since he was like 17 or something, you know, it's super gratifying. It's oddly gratifying how emotional you get to like see him out there. Like, he's still doing all the Witzel things and it's the major leagues. This is awesome. You know, so hopefully he can do some more Witzel things and cut back the strikeouts and just, you know, be captain, put the ball in play, hit for a little extra base power and run wild out there. And, you know, might get to stick around a little while.
Yeah, it's been fun.
The amount of West in terms of Winfield Perez video we have from West Michigan. I mean, it goes back to 2019. He is one of the first prospects we ever filmed on the website. Here. So it's like I'm actually pulling it up right now because I went back to go see just the progress he's made, and this is when the Bunghammers came out. This is how old this is.
Oh yeah.
So. This is when this is how a skinnier version of him too. But this is when he was playing shortstop on a regular. You're getting excited about the numbers, and this is where we do the Cy angles. Like this is the early days of the James Chipman training module, if you will. And so this is how much we've seen.
Get those open face looks.
Yeah, that was I have a tweet where I was joking about I was going to get an open side look at him, and somebody walked in front of me right as he bunted. And it's like he doesn't exist. As soon as they walk by, he's gone. I was like,
It's like people... that Scarlett Johansson video or something.
Oh, yeah, the one where
her mom just disappears behind her. Yeah.
That happened on the football field, too. I think Mark D'Antonio disappeared once.
Into the void.
Yeah. But I'm
trying to think. Before the stadium burned down, too. Well, the stadium had an issue, as you guys recall.
And, you know, and the other thing is, like Kerry Carpenter happened too fast. You know, it's not like he was ours. He didn't feel like ours. He just like changed his swing and went nuts. And it was like, okay, well, he's good to go. Yeah. But Wentzel watching him kind of grind it out and go through all these like little changes and stuff. Yeah. It's pretty neat to see him make it.
Yeah. Not to mention you know, like skinny.
Big, he was just a beanpole. Like,
yeah. And now he's, you know, he discovered American food and they're away we went. So
I know what he had never had arepas before. That's the, I guess maybe that was the problem. It was the Venezuelan food, right? Is that what he
needed? Yeah, true.
Yeah, but that was the Miggy formula. But yeah, you can't lose the speed. That's true. You can't sacrifice that for a rapist. That's for sure.
He made that really good catch in right field the other day, and like after making that error, he hit a triple, and it is contagious. And I have a theory of mine. It's just
we do have three center fielders out there when Green's in left right now. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
My theory is this: before we get out of here, I would not be all that mad if you look at Zach McKinstry's diminished role. If they have to come to the time, I think I heard tonight that any bias is nowhere near close coming back. I don't think, but
I think they said it might. I don't know. It sounded like it might be like a week, you know, until he went out of rehab, and it might be short. But yeah, it just comes back to Ryan Kreidler and Eddie's Leonard, right? Like they can't drop McKinstry until they have a usable shortstop in case something happens to Javi. I don't know. I guess you could just put Navigato on the 40 man, but they're probably going to do that. So. Yeah, that might just be like the length of McKinstry's leash right now. Because, he just hasn't done anything since like mid-May of last year. It's been pretty bad. And, you know, he's blunderful, you know, like most of the time he looks like he's very steady and does everything right. But there's just, you know, he just fluffs something almost every week, seems like. So,
I mean, his most memorable moment of the year is probably the error he made against the Twins that led to the 7-run inning or whatever, six runs after that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing that he is a pretty damn good defender wherever you put him, that error aside, like he's reliable for the most part. So I do think they like that. But yeah, at some point, you know, if Kreidler gets healthy or Leonard is healthy and they think that they can survive with him at shortstop for a little while, then it wouldn't shock me if McKinstry, gets DFA'd.
Yeah, they're not, you know, they're not really short of like left-handed bats to play a right-handed, you know, Kreidler or Leonard and pinch hit for him. If the obsession continues with that. McKinstry is hanging on by the sheer fact that he hits left-handed right now. So
yeah.
I don't think he's too long. If they could find a Buddy Kennedy who hit left-handed, he'd probably be hitting the bricks. So right. Sorry, Zach, but it would be a good time to do something, big fellow.
Put this one last thing up there. I put it at Deadly Ninja Beast wants to know, is this year's draft expected to be strong? And the answer to that is not so much. It is interesting. Like almost all of the top ranked players are performing out of their minds. Like the guys that were expected to be good this year, with the exception of like JJ Weatherholt of West Virginia, who's been injured a bunch, which is kind of becoming a thing for him. So he may slide a little bit, but Charlie Condon is hitting home runs all over the place. Nick Kurtz is hitting home runs all over the place. Travis Pizana is hitting home runs. Hagen Smith is striking everybody out. Chase Burns looks diabolical. There's like a Jack Caglione is hitting home runs everywhere. He hit home run in 9 straight games, I think it was.
Yeah.
There's like a strong top 8 college players. And then after that, everybody's like, I don't know. And one of the big movers and the guy that I like and would be great for the Tigers is Bryce Rainer, who was kind of a two-way player for a while, but then he's really looked good apparently as at the plate this year. He plays for Harvard Westlake, which plays in one of the best. It's in California, and it's one of the best high school baseball leagues in the country. They see a lot of talent there, and he's hitting really well. And he went to the National High School Invitational in North Carolina and registered the 5 hardest hit balls there. And he's got a 70 arm. Looks like he might be able to stick at shortstop. He's a left-handed bat. 6'3" though, so you worry about him growing out of that. But yeah, I mean, he's a guy that I thought would be great for the Tigers at 11. The problem is that he might not make it to them now. So
yeah, he's looking too good to get to the Tigers at 11 right now, but long way to go, obviously.
But yeah, this is not a compared to last year's draft, this is a real bummer. I mean, there's some good players, right? But it's not particularly deep. There are no like high or college shortstops that you really want. There really aren't. It's just a little light.
But, for the Tigers, it's kind of setting up for the full, like, you know, full Mark Connor treatment, where they just they take somebody, pay them way under slot in one, and then just spread it around and go nuts on the prep players and any college arms they like again, probably. So,
yeah. There is the kid from East Carolina, Trey Savage, kind of reminds me of Jaden Hamm actually a little bit with his delivery, but it sounds like he's more like a top 15 pick. So. I don't know. We can there's still 3 months to the draft. Yeah. Like 2.5 months. So there'll be plenty of time to talk about this. But yeah, I don't know. I don't think it's going to be a huge source of you know, talent coming into the system for the Tigers, but we'll see. You know, you never know.
Yeah. At least not the obvious, like right out of the gate guy. Yeah. Yeah. Probably not.
There is the one thing about the more I read about the draft too, is there is a lot of potential, like just guys that you might hear, like just potentially down the line, but doesn't seem like there's going to be like a sure impact like there was this year. That's what I keep reading. Like doing a quick read on Baseball America, I was just scrolling down. I'm like, because I haven't had a chance to prep for the draft. It's been,
yeah, I haven't really either. But there's a lot of raw and then tools, you know, just like all over the place. Yeah, big tools, raw. So
yeah, big tools. Yeah. But all right, so we are out of here. Thanks so much. We wanted to wrap this up this evening. As Thursday, I will not be for the normal listeners of the Motor City Metrics podcast. I'll be out of town this week. I am heading to Minnesota. Let's see here. It is sometime in the next 5 or 6 hours. So I have an early flight. And I'm going to try to either go to a Twins game or a St. Paul Saints game. I'm not sure yet. The Twins are playing the White Sox. So, I mean, it depends if I really want to watch bad baseball or not. And I can't remember right now who St. Paul is playing, but I went to go look at their cap collection because a couple of people from our work were talking about going to a baseball game, and they weren't sure who's playing. Oh, they're playing Rochester, so that might be a chance to be kind of cool game. But tomorrow night's game is Tough, is pronounced differently than Thorough, which is pronounced differently than thorough, proving why the English language is the worst day on National English.
Yeah.
I can't read the effing language. Day. So they have a Marco Polo. They have some really cool events there. So anyway. I was thinking about going to a St. Paul game too. So
they have through night or something now?
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that right?
Is that serious? Yeah. I'm reading on here and I'm just like
which? Yeah.
Yeah. So
yeah, it was a promotion from Gallagher.
Well, I'm glad you're getting a trip and it's not 100% business. So that's good. Or at least not just all this business.
No. Yeah, it was funny. They're like, you have a travel day. And I've done work trips all my life. Usually you have a work trip. Usually you have a couple hours of travel. They're like, oh, you have the evening to yourself. I'm like, and we're trying to figure out what to do. And I want, I'm staying at the casino. I'm staying at the casino, Brandon. So yes. A part of me did think of, like, you got, you know, some sort of, you know, way to make some money. But right now, you know, if they have war,
Sometimes it works that way. Yeah. Not always.
I'm not trying to double my paycheck. But at any rate, thanks so much for listening. We'll be back on next week. Next Monday, we'll be doing week 5. Sorry, damn, 5 weeks already. Crap. Oh. And we'll be out back on the road here probably in the next couple weeks or so. But again, please consider donating to the website. Our PayPal link's below. Thank you so much to Samuel for the $5. It is not a trap. My wife, thank you. It is not a trap.
Sarah from the top rope.
Okay. Sarah from the top rope just coming down and raining havoc there. But at any rate, we'll see you next week. Have a good week, everybody.
Yep.
Buy a shirt. Also buy a shirt.
Oh, yeah.
Buy a shirt. Give these people money. Okay.
Yeah.
I saw that.
Give Brandy money.
Yeah.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.